There's a law which says you cannot be married after dusk. And as best of my knowledge, that law is still in existence. We certainly impose it when we have people wanting marriages in the winter later on. Now, the reason for that, I suspect you can guess, is because in the days before electricity and gas, churches were quite dimly lit by candles, and you wanted to be pretty sure about who you were marrying, and you didn't want to marry the wrong... So they created this law to make sure that that happened. And if we read in the Bible, we remember Jacob, he got married, and it was the next day he realized that he'd been given the wrong sister. And it cost him another 14 years of service before he got the sister that he really wanted. And so you want to be sure who you're marrying, and your identity in darkness does really matter. And that's a little bit what about what we're talking in our gospel reading today. As we continue our journey through the I am statements of Jesus, today we're looking at I am the light of the world. And if you want to follow on your sheets, you'll see John 12 says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Again, Jesus is making this declaration of this is who I am. I am God. I am the I am. I existed before the world was created as God first identified himself in Scripture. We read he identified himself, I am. I existed before the world existed. And now he's adding to that, I am the light of the world. And take note, he's not bringing light to the world. He says, I am the light of the world. And indeed, I don't know whether you know, but when new earth or heaven, as we tend to call it, is created, there will be no sun, it says in Scripture. God himself will be the light of the new creation. But the Pharisees, in contrast, are not happy about this. And rightly so, because if Jesus is not God, they should not be. But also the reason they can't see he's God is because they don't have the light. And this whole story is wrapped up in Jesus' identity yet again. The best question anyone can ask in life is not what is the meaning of life, but who is Jesus? Because answer that and pretty much everything else in life starts to make sense when you ask that openly and honestly. But here the Pharisees are challenging him, saying, look, and they're trying to go to the law and saying, in order for your identity to be proved, you need somebody else to testify that you are who you say you are, and you haven't got anyone else. And Jesus says, yes, I have. I've got my Father in heaven because my Father and I are one. He's my Father, I am the Son, I am God. But they can't see that because they are living in darkness. So that's why this story is right here attached to Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, and they're living in the darkness. And I remember being dumbfounded, having argued with Christian friends about them. I kind of thought God might exist, but Jesus, Christianity, load of rubbish, irrelevant to life. People who were needy, they kind of created this religion. But when I met God, when God brought his light into my life, everything looked different. But there are two kinds of people, interestingly enough. This isn't just talking about those who didn't see the light, who have no faith at all. Because, of course, the Pharisees had faith. They were faithful Jews. And sometimes Christians too, who are faithful Christians, live in darkness. So it isn't just those who don't have a faith and don't believe in Jesus who live in darkness. It's also us as Christians. And I can testify this too, that I live in darkness. What do I mean by that? Verse 15 says, you judge by human standards. And there lies our problem. We look at the world by human standards. You see, God wants to bring his light. And if you look, it doesn't just say he's the light of the world, but you will have the light of life. Life itself will come into it. And if you see it in the Isaiah passage, where it's the prophecy about Jesus, it's extraordinary. It says, those people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. But look at the result. You have enlarged the nation. You have increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice dividing the plunder. There's an abundance here, which as Christians so often we do not embrace. There's a joy and rejoicing. And by that, I don't mean that God's going to come and bring, say, nothing's good, bad's ever going to happen in your life, because we all know that Christians go through great suffering as well as those without faith, and sometimes more so. But we can still have joy, something inside us, non-dependent on circumstances. Happiness tends to be associated with circumstances. Joy is something that comes, is inside. Happiness is external and outside, which goes in. Joy is something inside which comes out. And people who rejoice at a harvest. Is your life full of harvest and rejoicing and joy, even in the challenge of life? Of course, there are seasons where that is hard. But sometimes we accept broken marriages. We just accept fear. We accept worry about finances and circumstances and our workplace. We just accept these things as part of life. But I believe God wants to come and heal our brokenness, unforgiveness, broken relationships, broken marriages, worries about our children or our grandchildren or our parents or whatever it is. God wants to come and bring restoration to these things. It isn't always possible, but amazingly it is so often. But because it's always been like that, we just live in darkness and accept it. Let me give you an illustration. This week I went to the opticians for my every 2 year eye check, and they did once again confirm the fact that I have really bad eyes. I wear contact lenses, that's why you can't see. I have glasses as well, but I have really bad eyes. But you know, at the beginning, I did not work it out. Do you know how I worked it out? I was driving down the motorway, and there was this, you know those massive blue signs that you turn off at a junction? I could only read them as literally I was driving past them. They were just a blur. Right the way until I actually came past them. I looked up at them and I could just about read them. That's how blind, and I was driving like that. You can imagine what it was like at night. But somehow I just accepted. And all the trees and all the detail of life had long gone. And I didn't even notice. And then when I came out the opticians, I looked, and do you know the first thing that blew me away? Leaves on the trees. Now, I'd seen leaves, but they were just a blur. But I thought, wow, look at these leaves. I can see each individual leaf. And it was years ago I'd done that. And I just live like it. And I think it can be the same for us as Christians. We can live as if we have no God who created the universe, no God who's got any power, no God who can transform lives and bring healing and restoration. If that's true about him, he's no God at all. He wants to bring the light of life. He wants to increase their joys that they might rejoice before you, a people who rejoice at the harvest of life, who have the light of life. I wonder what in your life is really broken, that God is longing to come in, and you've just lost faith to believe that God can transform that person yourself. For me, for a long time, a good example of this was me wrestling with my weight. The bottom line is, I knew how to lose weight. You eat less and you exercise. But anyone who's tried to lose weight knows that that's not the problem. The problem was my addiction to food. I couldn't, however hard I humanly tried, I could not lose weight. Quite the opposite. The harder I tried, the more weight I put on. It was awful. So what I did was I cried out to God. I went, God, I can't do this. I need your help. And it didn't just happen either. It took about 6 months of crying out to God. And then suddenly he came in, and just one day I found, like that, I had no problem. And I don't know, it's the same with sin. It's the same with brokenness, God can come in, and now my faith is beginning to soar again, and I'm beginning to believe God and look around at the brokenness and say, light can come into that brokenness. Brokenness in my family. I have real brokenness, not in my immediate family, but in my extended family, which I just think, oh, that's so broken. I want to see God, and I'm beginning to believe it. You see, think about the nature of light and darkness. What happens when light comes in darkness? What happens each morning? This is a testimony to God, my friends. Let's take it as a testimony. What happens each morning when the sun comes up? What happens to the darkness? In some ways, it's just destroyed, isn't it? If you shine a torch in the darkness, you turn on a light. It destroys darkness. Darkness is powerless against light. It can do nothing. The very nature of light is to destroy darkness. And so when we bring the light of the world, Jesus, for he is the light of the world, into our lives, into our circumstances, into our brokenness, into our impossible, and we surrender and go, I can't do this, but you can. Bring light into my darkness, then things begin to change. It's not a Father Christmas prayer, like today you ask for it and tomorrow you get it. It's a relational prayer of crying out to God and going, I give in, I give up, I can't do this, Lord. I'm too broken, I've tried humanly, by human standards. But as we allow God into our brokenness, light into our brokenness, light into our pain, light into our suffering, light into our worry, light into our finances, suddenly things begin to change as we do it day in, day out. Because Jesus' identity is that he's God. He's the creator of the universe. He is light itself. So don't hide your darkness. Bring it to God. You will not be able to resolve it. And you may have tried for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years to bring healing to a situation. Maybe it's time to bring the light of the world to that darkness that you hide. And I know you hide it because I hide it. I'm a vicar. I have to hide my darkness. I don't want to see everyone to see my darkness. But the crazy idea is to hide it from God and to allow God not into my darkness. And when I finally worked out, I thought, what next, Lord? What next can you heal? And I've had a list of things this year which I've seen God begin to bring light into that I thought would never change. And I've got things that I've been praying for 25 years for, and I believe more than ever that my faith level is soaring at the moment. When you see God's light come in darkness, you know that humanly you cannot do it, but anything that's impossible for man is possible for God. So let's just pray as we finish, and I just give a moment's silence for you to begin that process. Just lift up, and you can just say one word in your mind to just give to God that thing, that person that needs God's light, that needs God's healing, some darkness somewhere. So, Lord, just pray. I just declare you as the light of life, the light of the world. Jesus, that's who you are. And Father, we all have our darkness in us, or we know places or people that have darkness in them. And Lord, we're going to lift them to you quietly because you can hear our quiet prayers to you this Mothering Sunday. And for whatever it is, we lift these dark places to you and ask that you might work in them and bring your light. Because Father, we can't do it, but you can. So just lift them up in a moment's silence now.